The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Mo'ed Katan Daf Chav Dalet. Today's daf is being dedicated in memory of Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichenu Began Eden Amen. Today's daf is being studied at Nun Nishmat Meruham Ezra ben Mazal Sheniftar Bekisur Yamin Veshanim. Ruach Hashem Tanichenu Began Eden V'Tehi Nishmato Tzrura B'Tzor HaChayim Amen. We begin today's daf on Chav Dalet Amud Rishon, and we start right on the top line. Ba'amine Rabbi Yohanan Mishmuel. Yohanan asked the question from Shmuel. Now, just to be pointed out, Rabbi Yohanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. Shmuel lived in Babel. So you have to say that the letter was, it was a letter that was sent from Rabbi Yohanan to Shmuel. That's the way they corresponded to each other. Ba'amine Rabbi Yohanan Mishmuel, yesh avilut b'shabbat or en avilut b'shabbat. So we go back to that question that we discussed on the previous Hamdaf. Is there avilut on Shabbat? Or is there not avilut on Shabbat? The question is, everybody agrees there's no avilut b'farhesya, which means public display of avilut. Everybody agrees there is not on Shabbat. The question is there avilut b'tzana'a, things that are done in private? Amar le, en avilut b'Shabbat. So he told them the laws of avilut do not apply on Shabbat, which means even devarim shebitzana'a are not noheg. Yet Rabbanan kamed Rav Papa veka'amen meshivet Shmuel. So the rabbis were sitting in front of Rav Papa, and they said this halakha in front of Rav Papa in the name of Shmuel, that in avilut b'Shabbat. And he said like this, avil sheshimesh mitato b'me oblo. He said like this, an avil that has tashmisha mita during the 7 days of avilut hayav mita. He's hayav mita, meaning mita bide shamayim. Amar lehu Rav Papa. So Rav Papa, when he heard such a statement, he says, "Asur itmar." First of all, you made two mistakes. First of all, it's not hayav mita; it's just asur. And number two, umishemed Rabbi Yohanan itmar. And the statement you got wrong. It's not in Shmuel's name. The statement is to be made in Rabbi Yohanan's name. Ve'ishemi alechu mishemed Shmuel. And if you heard something in the name of Shmuel, this is what you heard. Amar of Tahrifa bar Avimi Amar Shmuel, Avel Shelo Para, which means an Avel that did not let his hair grow during the time of the Avelut, Vishelo Piram, or he did not rip his garments, Kriya Hayav Mita. That's where Shmuel said, Hayav Mita Shene Emar. The Pasuk says, Vayikra, Rashechem Al Tefra'u, Ubechdechem Lo Tefromu, Velo Tamutu. Do you remember when Nadav Avihu died, so the remaining brothers Elazar v'Itamar, Borei Olam, told them that they cannot let their hair grow, and they cannot rip their clothes, and if they do, they will die. They'll be hayav mita. So we can imply from over here, ha acher shelo para v'shelo pirem hayav mita, which means they were the exception. They had to let their cut their hair, and they had to not rip their clothes, and they would be hayav mita if they did. Implying that everybody else that has a normal bow of avelut is going to be hayav mita, bide shamayim, that is, if they do not rip their clothes or cut their hair. Comes the Gemara, continues, Amar Afram Bar Papa, Tana be'avel rabbati. Avel rabbati is like a small masechet. We call that the masechet the simachot, which talks about the laws of avelut. Even though the beginning of this masechet begins with the words Hagoses, Harehu kehai lechol devarav, but they do not call it masechet goses. Even though normally we call the masechet by the first word of the masechet, but that would not be a nice name to call the masechet goses. Means somebody's on his deathbed. Right. So therefore, they nicknamed the masechet simachot, which is really saginahor. It doesn't talk about the laws of simachot. It talks about the laws of avilut, but they say it in a positive way. In any event, Amar Afram Bar Papa, Tana b'avil rabbati, avil asur l'shemesh mitato b'ime ablo. That an avil is asur to have relations during the time of avil. U'ma'aseh b'had shemesh mitato b'ime ablo. There was a story of a person that had to shemesh during the time of avilut. V'shamtu hazirim et giviyato. And the pigs came, and they bit his ever of zechrut, which means over there, b'otomakom, they bit it. And That was obviously midah keneged midah from having tashmish during the times of the tashmish, the time of the avelut, I should say. Okay, and the Rashi says on top giviyato kol gufo. Some say giviyato is his whole body. Just hit him up. Vika de amri ever shelo. The mefarshim explain over here, the Maharal that is, that there is not a animal that goes after ta'ava more than the hazir. It's the most lustful of the animals. Therefore, he was lustful, he couldn't control himself during the times of the avelut. So Borei Olam sent him the most lustful of the animals to go after him. Comes the Gemara and continues, Amar Shemuel. Shemuel now comes along and says, regarding the laws of Shabbat, which means what is Noheg on Shabbat and what is not Noheg on Shabbat. So the Shemuel makes the following statement. Pehaz Choba Netar Reshut.
Okay.
These are obviously the Shetevot for different items. So again, Pehaz, these items are Choba, which is he must fulfill these items on Shabbat.
Netir.
And Neter or Netar Reshut, which means he has an option if he wants to or if he doesn't want to. So let's go one at a time. Gemara begins. Piriat Harosh. That's the Peh. Which means we learned that the Avel used to cover his head, at Atifat Arosh. They would cover their head with like a cloth or a kerchief or something like that. And we said they would do it Atifat Yishma'alim, as a matter of fact. They would wrap themselves in a certain way, like the Arabs would wrap themselves in their garments. So therefore, the deen is over here. Piriat Arosh, on Shabbat, he has to take the cover off his head. Okay? The reason why that is obvious, because he's not allowed to do something in public to show a public display of avilut. So therefore he has to take it off. Look at Rashi, Piriat Arosh, Shemegale, second line, Ha'avel Rosho B'Shabbat, Ve'eno Mit'atif. He does not cover himself. The next one is Hazarat Kera La'ahorav, which means when the person made the kiri'ah, the rip has to be in front, exposed, so everybody could see it.
Right.
On Shabbat, he has to turn his shirt around so it is not exposed. Look at that, she had the second line. V'hazarat kira la'achorav. Okay, that's what exactly what it means. They just turn the shirt around. And the third thing would be zikifat hamita, which means zikifat hamita. We learned one of the things they did during avilut was zikifat hamita. So they would turn the beds upside down.
Right.
So on Shabbat, you cannot have a public display of avilut. So they would have to turn the beds right side up. That would be called zikifat. So let's review. What is Pehaz? Pehaz is Piri'at Harosh. Het is Hazarat Kera. You turn the Kiri'ah around so it's to the back, so it's not in front. And Zayin is Zekifat Hamita. All because why? Not to fulfill Avelut Befarishya. Right, that's a Chobah. Mandatory to do those things. Now we go to the Netar. Ne'ilat as Sandal, that's leather shoes. Tashmish amita, marital relations, rechisat yadayim v'raglayim b'chamin arbit, and washing one's hands or feet with hot water in arbit, meaning at night. These items are reshut, which means if he wants to refrain, he can. If not, not. Now let's go through each one. Ne'ilat sandal, wearing leather shoes, that's considered devarim shebisana'ah. Because there are people that wear shoes and there are people that don't wear shoes in the olden days. And therefore, if a person is not going to wear leather shoes, it's not going to stand out that he's necessarily ba'avilut. Tashmish amita obviously is devarim shebitzina'ah. And tashmish amita, rechitzat yadayim v'raglayim b'chamin. Washing one's hands and feet with chamin. Now the halakha says that on Shabbat you're allowed to wash your hands and feet with water that was heated already from before Shabbat. So the Hadush of the Gemara is if he wants to wash his hands and do that, then that's also okay, which means reshut. If he wants to abstain, he can abstain. If he doesn't want to abstain, he doesn't have to abstain. Okay? Because all these items, even though normally these items for an avail is mandatory, he's not allowed to have tashmish, he's not allowed to wear leather shoes, he's not allowed to bathe himself. Over here, he's not hayav to eliminate these things for Shabbat. The chidush is that even if he would eliminate himself from these things, it's not a public display of avilut. Okay, because nobody really, it's not evident. So therefore he says, again, we read Netar, Ni'anata Sandal, Tashmi Shamita, Jarachat Yadayim V'Raglayim, Behamin Arbit, that's on Shabbat itself, Reshut. Okay, let's see, any Rashis, Rashi, third line, Ni'anata Sandal, Delav Kule Alma Saimi Misaneh B'Shabbat. Not everybody wears shoes, or their shoes on Shabbat, Velo Mukhah De'Avelu. Jesus, if he's going to wear non-leather shoes, it's not going to be evident that he's Avil, and therefore it is okay. Comes Gemara and says, "Ve'Rav Amar, Rav calls Av Piriata Rosh Reshut," which means he says, Rav, that the Avil can remain with his covering his head. So you have to say, according to Rav, it seems it was normal for people that were non-Avil to have their head covered. Otherwise, how could Rav come along and say that Piriata Rosh is Reshut? We don't want to have a public display of Avilut over here. So you have to say that he holds that this was done by people. So Kavzik Gemara says, Ushmoel, my shenan ne'ilat asandal d'reshut. Why does he allow him not to wear leather shoes? De'lav kula ama avidi desayim imisanayu. Because not everybody wears shoes, and therefore it's not going to be a public display. P'riyat arosh namel, lav kula ama avidi megadereshayu. So the same thing, not everybody uncovers their hair. There's some people that have this covering on. So therefore, Shmuel, for the same reason you allowed him not to wear shoes, because you say, people are not going to understand that that's Avilut. People will think that just he's one of those people that don't wear shoes. So the same thing with the covering of the hair. Let him cover his hair. People will just think he's one of those guys that cover his hair with this covering. Why did you say that it's a chovah? That he has to make piriat harosh. Let him wear the covering. Right. There's people that wear coverings. So Gemara says Shmuel l'tameh. Shmuel goes according to his reasoning. Damash Shmuel. Shmuel said two things here. Kol kira she'eno b'shat chimum. Any kriya that a person makes not at the time when he's hot, when the tsa'ar is the hardest on him, eno kira. That's not considered a tearing. Nafkamina, which means like this: the main kriya the person has to rip is what? On the time that he hears about the loss. That's the real kiri'ah. Nafkamina, on the next day, if he makes a kiri'ah, that's not a kiri'ah. And therefore, be batashit. And therefore, he's trying to tell you that if the main kiri'ah is dafka b'sh'at himum, dafka at the time where he's heated up. Now, granted, if he didn't make the kiri'ah tash'at that he heard about, of course he has to make a kiri'ah afterwards. But we're talking about a case, let's say he made it at the time where he heard about the deceased. Now, it's time the next day, or the day after, let's make another kiri'ah. No. That's not a kiri'ah. That's already about the shit. You're wasting the garment. Okay, that's the first thing he said. As he says, bish'at qimum, bish'at hathalat tasa'ar, meaning bish'at mita. Okay, so that's the first halakha. Again, I'm explaining to you again. We're talking about a guy that made kiri'ah at the time that he heard about the deceased. Now it's the next day. He wants to make kiri'ah again on another garment. So he's telling you, don't do that. That's not considered a kiri'ah anymore. And therefore, you're about to shrink. You're destroying a garment that's perfectly good. You didn't gain anything. Kol kera she'eno b'sh'at chimum eno kera. Doesn't tie in. We didn't get to the point yet. Comes to Gemara and says, ve'chol atifa she'ena ka'atifat Yishma'ilim ena atifa. That's where it ties in. Any atifa, he says, that's not like atifat Yishma'ilim is not considered an atifa. And therefore, the only way you can make atifa for the avil is what? Like the Arabs. Right? You have to swing it around and cover his whole face. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if he's going to do that, it's going to be evident that he's avil. Whereas Rav holds, you don't have to do atifat Yishma'ilim. You can just cover your head and cover your face in a normal way. So yeah, there are normal people that do that also. They're not avil. So therefore, Rav said, that could be reshut, voluntary, on Shabbat. However, Shmuel says, no, since the only way I hold that you can cover your head and face is like atifa Yishma'ilim, if a guy's going to do that on Shabbat, it's going to be evident that what? That he's avil. And therefore he says that's chovah. He's not allowed to cover his face. That's the difference between Rav and Shmuel. Kavz Gemaran says, Mahve Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman showed on himself, where the atifat Yishma'ilim, how is it done? Ad gubed dikna, until like the cheeks, which means the covering covered all the way down to his face, went all the way down to his cheeks. So you see that what? It was a unusual covering. Literally it means like where the zakan is, where the where the beard is. Dikna is the beard, by the beard. Midrashi kol atifat she'ena katifat Yishmael imhilkach kevan dechol yimesh shavua shu avel metatef ki Yishmael im eno notla b'shabat nerek noeg avelut. It's going to be evident if he doesn't take it off on Shabbat that he's doing avelut. Why? Dechol ha'am alo nage b'atifa zu. Nobody wears the atifa like that. Ela avelim bilvad. Only the avelim, therefore, that's why he says it's chova to make atifat rosh. Amar b'Yaakov, the Gemara continues. Amar b'Yohanan. Lo shanu ela she'en lo min alayim beraglav. Which means that which we said, that Shmuel mandates p'riat rosh, that's only talking about lo shanu ela she'en lo min alayim beraglav, where he's not wearing shoes. Because now that he's not wearing shoes, so now already he doesn't have shoes on, he has this atifa over here, now it's evident that he's doing avelut. Aval yesh lo min alayim beraglav, min alav mochi'in alav. But if he's wearing shoes, so then already people see him wearing shoes, they say, okay, he's not avel, so why is he covering himself like Ishmael? That's what he's doing, that's the stylist, so whatever it is. But the point is, the shoes will allow him to make the atifa if he would like. That's she. לא שאנו פריעת הראש בשבת צריך לגלות חותמו וספמו וזקנו שהיה מכוסה בימי אבלו להודיע כן אבלו בשבת. Yeah, which we say he has to uncover his nose, his mustache, his beard, the whole face that was covered, he has to uncover it. That's talking about where אלא שאין מן עליים ברגליו, where he doesn't have shoes on. אבל יש מן עליים ברגליו מן עליו מכין עליו דאינו אבל, אבל לגלות ראשו אינו צריך. That should be noted, that she just points out, if he wants to do this in private, there's no problem. In mitzvah, he has no issue. The issue obviously was what it's going to be in public, where it's going to be a display. Comes the Gemara and continues. Kol kera she'eno b'sha'at chimum eno kera. Right? Shmuel made a statement. Any type of kiri'ah that's not at the time when the tsar is the strongest, which means when he heard about it, that's not considered a kera, and therefore it's asur for him to do it because it's considered bal tashchit. So Gemara tells a question. Va'amru le Shmuel. They told Shmuel, nah nafshe derav. They gave him the news that Rav passed away. Kara ale tresar mane. He ripped 12 garments in sa'ar. Now the assumption is that he didn't rip all 12 in one day. That on consecutive days, every day he ripped another garment. What do you mean? I thought after the Shemi'ah, it's not considered a kera, and therefore it's considered bal tashchit. Right. Furthermore, what did he say? Amar, azal gavra dava mistafin amine. When the Rav passed away, Shmuel said, a person that I was scared of has passed on. What does it mean that he was scared of? So the Mefarshim explained that Rav would ask questions to Shmuel. And the questions were good questions, strong questions. He's, I was scared of his questions. Other Mefarshim explained that he had much fear, yirat kavod, meaning fear of reverence to the rabbi. And therefore he said, I couldn't even speak in front of him because of the wisdom and tradition that he had from his rabbis. He learned from the Rabbi and the Bihaya. So therefore I was awed in front of his presence. In any event, now he was saying, now that I don't have a rabbi that I'm have the fear like this rabbi, I'm worried that I'm making a mistake in the halakha. It seems that when he had Rav around, he was very careful when he said halakha, because he knew Rav was very, very strong, meaning he wouldn't make a mistake in front of Rav. But now he says, I lost a great rabbi that I was had fear of. Then they told Rabbi Hanan, Nach nafshid Rabbi Hanina. The Hanina passed away. Kara ale telesar itztalem milata. He ripped over him 13 garments made out of meshi. That's just fine silk. Amar, he said the same thing. Azal gavrad davam istafina mine. A person that I was scared of has deceased, been gone. Also, what do you see over here? But the same question. You told me what? That after Shavuot, you told me that any kera that's after the Shat Chimum is not a kera. How did they rip all these garments? Again, the assumption you have to say is they ripped it after, not on the same day. They ripped it on, the days after. They heard about it. Gemara says, Shani Rabbanan. When it comes to ripping for the rabbis, it's different. Because every moment they remember the halachot, that they learned from them. And what? That reminds them about, they have tzar, that what? That they're not living. Kishat Chimum Dame. It's considered Sha'at Chimum. Which means every time Shmuel remembered the halakha that Rav said, he ripped again. That's considered Sha'at Chimum. Because the remembrance of the halakha that the rabbi taught, that already causes great grief. Kavz Gemara answers a question. Amar Leravin Barada Leravin Amar Talmidach Rav Amram. The student of Amram said, Tanya Bore Braita. Avel Kol Shiva, the Avel, all the 7 days, Koro Lefanav. Which means the rip that he has in his garment has to be in front, visible that everybody sees. Vimba Lachlif. And let's say he wants to change his garment. For example, let's say the weather changes. Either from hot to cold or cold to hot. Therefore, he needs to change the garment. So the deen is Mahlif Vikoleya. He has to put a new garment and he has to make another Kiri'ah. There's the question right there. Even though it's not Sha'at, Chimum. We continue. B'Shabbat, Kor'o Le'acholav. Now, on Shabbat, we learned that the garment that he's wearing, he turns it around so the Kiri'ah is behind him, so it's not visible. V'imba Le'achlif. Now, on Shabbat, if he wants to change his garment, Mahlif Eino Kor'aya. Obviously, he changes the garment without making Kiri'ah. So the question is, but when he changes his garment, he has to make another kiri'ah during the week. You said Shemuel that it's not during Sha'at Chimum, and therefore it's considered Bat Tashchit. Gemara says, Kitanya hi bichbod abi ve'imo. This is Dafka talking about abi ve'imo, and it's really not a deen that you have to make kiri'ah on the second garment. Ela, it's a deen that what? Midin kavod. And therefore it's not a stira, it's not a contradiction. Ela, it's midin kibud avaim. But in a kanameh, the gabe other relatives, if he wants to change the garment because of hot or cold, he changes the garment and does not have to make kiri'ah. And he does not make kiri'ah on the other garments. That's according to what the Gemara is saying. Maran now is going to discuss that if, let's say, the person is mitabel for abi ve'imo, like we learned. So we said that if he wants to change his garment out of kabod avaim, he has to make a kiri'ah on the second garment. The question is, we learned early in the Gemara that on the kiri'ah of a mother and a father on the original garment, one is not allowed to repair that tear. One must leave it unsewn in the normal way forever. So now the Gemara wants to say, Otan kira'in mitachin or in mitachin, which is regarding the rip that the one made on the second garment. Is the same law apply, which means is it permissible to sew it up or not? Okay, which we know the ikar one, the main one, it's asur le'olam to fix it. The question is now, the additional ones that he made lechavod, does it have the same law?
Mother and father.
Mother and father only. The Gemara says, Otan mitachin or in mitachin, peligiba abud Rav Oshaya ubar kapara. So we have a machlok from the father of Rav Oshaya and bar kapara. Had amar in mitachin. One said they do not repair them, which means just like the original garment. And one says, you do repair it. Now we don't know who said what. So the Gemara says, Tistayim, the Abu Rav Oshaya Damar in mitachin. We can conclude that it's the father of Rav Oshaya that said, you do not repair it. Why? The Amar of Oshaya, because we know what his son said. Because Rav Oshaya said, in mitachin. Now, Miman Shami Yadeh, Lav Me Abu. Where did Rav Oshaya hear it from? He must have heard it from his father. And therefore, if Rav Oshaya said in mitachin, it must be that his father said in mitachin, that's where he heard it from. Gemara says, no, no proof. Mi bar kapara rabbe shami yadeh. The rabbi of Rav Oshaya was bar kapara. Mm-hmm. And therefore, couldn't be heard from bar kapara that said in mitachin. So if you have no proof that Rav Oshaya's father was the one that said in mitachin, Amar Rabba. Rabbah says there's a law regarding the law of Shabbat. This is the way that Rashi Kitab Yad says. Avel mitayel beunkali betoch beto. Which means, in his house, he's able to walk around on Shabbat with a beged karua, with a beged that is ripped. Again, because that is still davar shebisenara. She says, unkali haluk shekoro. Which means a garment that is rented, betoch beto, shebisenara. Mutar linhog abilut b'Shabbat. Since b'tzra'a, this would be mutar. Abaye ashkehad Rabbi Yosef. Abaye found Rabbi Yosef in his house on Shabbat when he was avil. Defris le sudra areshe. He had a sudar on his head like the avilim. Ve'aziv ateh bebeteh. He was walking around his house like that. Amar le, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Lav samar la mor en avelut b'Shabbat. Don't you hold an avelut b'Shabbat? Why are you covering your head with this? Amar le, achi amar Rabbi Yochanan, devarim shebisna'a noheg. Things that are b'sna'a are noheg, which really means hayav, which means you have to. Noheg means over here, you have to do it. Therefore, since the devarim shebisna'a yeld, therefore he did it. So according to this, comes out Rabbi Yochanan is arguing on Rav and Shmuel, because they said devarim shebisna'a is reshut. Right? They said if you want to do it, you don't want to do it. He's saying no, devarim shebisna'a noheg. You have to do it. Therefore, since he's in the house, nobody's watching, nobody's looking, he put on the covering. So that's a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel. How do you look at the things of devarim shebisna'a? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, mishehara bet hamikdash aser kesheva. We go back to the ruling of our Mishnah. Let's review the rules of the Mishnah. We said that Shavuot, since the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Eliezer, Shavuot is considered like Shabbat, l'gabe Avelut, meaning it does not break the Avelut. Now, at the time of the Beit HaMikdash, he wanted to say what? That was different, because Shavuot had a 7-day Tashlumin for the Korban, and it was like a regular Regel, and if we know Regalim are Mafsik the Avelut. Now, certainly, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he did not count Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur as a regel. So again, according to Rabbi Eliezer, let's review. Shavuot is not a regel, Rosh Hashanah is not a regel, and Yom Kippur is not a regel. Rabban Gamliel said, not only is Shavuot a regel, but we can even consider Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. So Rabban Gamliel is the most lenient. He considers everything like a regel. Hakami made a compromise. They said, look at the vrezeh, look at the vrezeh. Which means, he said, atzeret is like a regel, but Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is not like a regel. Okay, so basically you have three shitot. The three shitot are, again, the Eliezer is extreme. He says, even Shavuot is not like a regel, and Kosher Ken Rosh Hashanah Kippur, you have the extreme the other way, Rabban Gamliel, that even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is considered like a regel, and you have Hakami, they're in the middle. They come along and say, Shavuot is a regel, Nafka Minah, it's Mafsik the Avelut, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, not. So that's the summary of the Mishnah. Amar Rav Gida Bar Menashe, Amar Shmuel Halacha, Kerabban Gamliel. What? In all those days, Shavuot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, all are considered like a regel to Mafsik Avelut. Vika Demati Ladah, Rav Gida Bar Menashe. Some have Rav Gida Bar Menashe's Halacha regarding a different mahloka, the following. Kol shloshim yom tinok yotze bahek. But if a baby dies within 30 days of its birth, and the 30 days included from the time that it was born, yotze, tinok yotze bahek. They do not have to put the baby in a coffin or an aron in order to bury it. They just carry it in the bosom, in the chest, and they bring it into the burial, which means they do not need the kavod in such a way. It's enough to put it behind. V'nikbar, and how is it buried? Be'isha ahat u'shne anashim, which means one lady and two men, which is another way of saying you don't need a minyan. You don't have to have a minyan at the cemetery burying. You even have two men and one lady that are involved in the burial. This is permissible as well. Just let me have three people. And even if one of them is a lady. Aval lo bi'ish ehad u'shne nashim. But not the opposite. Not with one man and two ladies. Why? Because you have a problem of yehud. We know a man is not allowed to be secluded with two ladies, especially in a secluded area like a cemetery, which usually is in a secluded area. So therefore, the Gemara is saying that we said specifically two men and one lady, but not one lady and two. Not two ladies and one man. That's a problem of Yehud. Abba Shaul Omer, Abba Shaul says, Af be'ish ehad u'shne nashim. He says, even two ladies and one man. Why? What's the logic of Abba Shaul? So he wants to say that Tosfot on top, Bish'at Avelut Tri Dashari. Nobody's mind is on Gilui Arayot at the time of Avelut. They're burying somebody at it. So therefore, he says they're not going to have the laws of Yehud apply at such a moment. Ve'en omdim alav b'shura. Normally, when they would come back from the Beit HaKeverot, they would stand in rows, and the people, the consolers, and the mourners would walk through them, and they would give them consolation. You do not have to do this process for a tinok. There was a special beracha that they used to make at the time of the Sa'udah, the first meal that they used to give to the Avil, called Sa'udat Havra'ah, that was given to them by their friend. They would make a special beracha called Berkat Avilim. Now she says differently, now she says beracha She'omer Barhava. He said that this is the beracha that they used to make in the street. On the way back from the funeral, they would make a special beracha in the Rehava in the street. Tanhume Avilim. Or for that matter, they don't have to receive guests, which means there's no din of consolation also on a tinok that died within 30 days. However, ben shloshim, which means if he lived at least 30 days and then he passed away, yotze bedeluskema, that's a miniature aron. They don't take a big aron, take a small aron for a little kavod. The biudame lod luskema hanitil bechatef, which is not such a small one that you can carry it on one shoulder. Ela hanitil bagafayim, which means it has to be carried at least by two people. But big enough that two people have to handle it. I guess that's the kavod to be motzi the mit. Ve'omdim alav b'shura, after 30 days they do stand in the row to receive tarchumei avedim, ve'omrim ala birkat avedim, ve'tarchumei avedim. Ben shnei asar chodesh. Once he gets to 12 months old, my man passes away, yotze b'mita. He goes out in the regular way, meaning b'mita, in a regular size coffin, just like they would take an older person. Rabbi Akiva omer, hu ben shana, ve'evarav ke ben shtayim. If let's say he's 1 year old, but he's big like a 2 year old, his limbs are like a 2 year old, who ben shtayim, or he's 2 years old, bevarav ke ben shana, but he's, you know, small, his bones only like a 1 year old, yotze bemita, which is according to the Biakka, the magic number is 2 years. If he has any connection to 2 years old, he's buried like a regular person, bemita. Either he is 2 years old, physically, just 2 years old, or he's 1 year old, but he's big like a 2 year old. Also, he's buried bimita. So that's the shita of Rabbi Akiva. So you can argue on Tanakama. When Tanakama says to have a mita for the funeral, it's only 1 year old. Rabbi Akiva says that's the minimum, 2 years old, or looks like a 2 year old. Comes to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, hayotze bimita. Like we said, somebody that's buried in a regular coffin and sent out to the funeral in a regular coffin, rabim matzibim alav. In that case over there, many people are mitzta'ir. People are agonizing at the levaya. And therefore, it's not kavod that the sibur should be agonizing over a katan, a baby less than 30 days old, or even 30 days old to a year. That's why they don't put him in a regular coffin. So therefore, they put him in a smaller thing. When less than 30 days old, they just carry him to the cemetery. Mashiach a gadol, it's kavod for the people to agonize over. So they put him in a big aron. Comes the Gemara and says, again, hayotze b'mita, rabim matzhibim alav. This over here means mitzta'arin. They agonize at the neviyah. Eno yotze b'mita, but something like that does not go out in the mita. And Rabbi Matzibi Malav. In fact, people will not agonize so much. Rabbi Al-Azam Al-Azani Omer, Nikar L'Rabim, which means over here, if the Yelid, if this child over here, Rabbi Shimon Ben Al-Azhar Omer, Hayotze B'mita Rabbi Matzibi Malav, which means a person that goes out B'mita in the Aron, in the coffin, that causes people to be matziv, meaning to be mitzta'ir at the time of the levaya. And that's why a katan, it's not proper for the sibur to have such agony over a katan. And therefore, they put him in a smaller aron. En yotze b'mita, en rabim matzibim alav. Somebody that does not go out in a mita, so the rabim do not agonize over him. Rabbi Elazar Azariah Omer, nikar l'rabim. If it was a katan that was known to the rabim, for example, he would go out of the house, this kid, they would know him from the synagogue, from the Bet Knesset, that Shin Ketaviyad says. He was a popular kid, if people knew him, rabim mitaskim immo, which means then they give him a regular kiburah, they go to the cemetery, and they involve themselves also in the nihum abelim process. En unikal rabim, but if he's not so popular to the rabim, en rabim mitaskim immo. Umahen behesped, which means how old does a katan have to be where they start making hesped for the katan? Now, we know that Hakamim say it's a mitzvah to be maspid the mit. What's the source of being maspid for the mit? Ve'ahavta l'ra'acha kamocha. And therefore the Rambam learns that it's important for the maspid, for the eulogizer, to elevate his voice and cry in order to get the people to hear about some of the good qualities of the niftar, and that will cause them maybe to follow some of his ways, and also to make teshuvah. Furthermore, the hispid is also for kavod of the niftar himself. Now, a child, let's say, is young. So, what kind of good deeds does a child have to be mespid? And what good things are you going to say, you know, about such a young person? So the Gemara wants to say, how old? So the Gemara says like this. Umahin bespid, Rabbi Meir, b'shem Rabbi Shmuel, b'shem Anim, which means, let's say he's the son of an Ani, son of poor people, b'nei shalosh, ready from 3 years old and up. Ashirim, if he's the son of a rich person, b'nei hamesh, already 5 years and up. Rabbi Yehuda Amir, b'shem, Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rabbi Shmuel, Anim, b'nei hamesh, sons of Anim, 5 years old, Ashirim, b'nei shesh. Ashirim, 6 years old, b'nei zekenim, that would be the son of older people, kibnei anim, they have a status of bnei anim. Now what's the logic over here? So that she says anim bnei shalosh, I mean, according to everybody, it's either 3 for the ani or 5 for the ani, but the point is he's the youngest of the group that they must be. So that she says lefi she'anim mitzta'ir al banav yotem min ha'ashir lefi she'en lo simha aheret. That's all the ani has, his children. And therefore, he agonizes at the loss of his child more than the rich man. The rich man, at least, he has other things in his life that bring him happiness. And therefore, to console the ani, even 3 years old, already they must speed. Whereas the rich man, not until he is a little older. Now, a zaken is like an ani. Why? Because since he's old, he cannot have any more children. So when he loses a child, that causes him great tzad. And therefore, even at a younger age, let's say like 5 years old, according to one opinion, they treat him like an ani, and therefore they eulogize. So that's the... Furthermore, a zaken relies on his child to bring him in and out. Who's taking care of the zaken father? The kids. And therefore, when he loses the kid, the child, that affects the zaken's life. More so than other parents, and therefore they eulogize him even at a younger age. Some explain zekenim over here means not old people, but refers to talmidei hachamim. That's what Rashi brings down in the Ktav Yad. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Gidam ben Menashia, and here's where Rav Gidam ben Menashia made his halakha. Amar Rav, halakha ki Rabbi Yehuda, shalom shum Rabbi Ishmael. Halakha follows Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rabbi Ishmael, that aniyim b'nei hamesh, ashirim b'nei shesh, and b'nei zekenim kibnei aniyim. Regarding the age of hesped for these type of people. Comes the Gemara and says, Darash Rav Anani bar Sason afetcha de ben Isya. He gave the following derasha at the gate of the house of the Nasi. Which we're talking about over here, somebody that buried his dead right before Shavuot, meaning on Erev Shavuot. So it says, Yom Echad Lifnei Atzeret, one day before Shavuot, Va'atzeret, plus Shavuot itself, Harekan Arba'asar. That's already 14 days. I'll explain to you how that works. Because we said that the regel breaks the Avilut. So that means right when the regel comes, right before the regel, the 7 is over. Shavuot, one day, is considered a regel, and therefore it has the status of 7 itself. So therefore, once Shavuot passes, wow. So in one day, already he's at day 14. Nafkamina to the Shloshim. Now he only has to wait 16 more days, and he's finished the Shloshim. So this is what he said. Shama Rabbi Ami v'ikpad. When Rabbi Anani said this halakha, Rabbi Ami heard it, he was angry. Amar atu didei. This is Rabbi Anani's chidush. The Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Hoshayahi. This is Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Hoshaya. This is the Hekabin quoted in the name of the person that said it. That also Rabbi Yitzhak Nafha akilad reish galuta. Rabbi Yitzhak Nafha said a halakha at the threshold of the Rosh Hagula, Yom Echad Lifnei Atzeret, one day before Atzeret, somebody passes away, Va'atzeret, plus the day of Shavuot itself, Harekan Arba'asar. Again, it's 14 days. Shama Rav Sheshat Ikpad. Rav Sheshat heard this halakha, and he got angry. Why? Same reason. Amar Atu Didehi. What is he? Is he plagiarizing? Is he saying the halakha in his own name? Again, this is Rabbi Elazar, the name of Rabbi Hoshaya said this halakha. Why didn't you quote the name of the person that said it? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya, minayin la'atzeret sheyesh la tashlumin kol shiva. How do we know that if a person did not bring the korban, meaning his hagigah, and every holiday you have to bring on the holiday, the first day, a korban hagigah. Now normally the deen is that if you don't bring it on the first day, you have 7 days to make it up. You can bring it the whole regel. Shavuot is really only one day. Right. So the question is, if you didn't bring it on the first day, how do you know you can bring the Hagigah on the subsequent days? So the Gemara says, Shene'emar, because the Pasuk says, when it talks about the three holidays, it says, Be'haga Masot, U'b'haga Shavuot. It compares Haga Masot to Shavuot. It juxtaposes both of them in the Pasuk. Ma Haga Masot yesh la tashlumin kol shiva, just like Haga Masot. You have 7 days for tashlumin, and if you don't bring the Quran on the first day, can bring on the subsequent days. Af Haga Shavuot yesh la tashlumin kol shiva. So too for Shavuot, you have tashlumin for 7 days, and therefore, that's the source of the Drasha. How you can consider one day of Shavuot like 7 days? Because since it's like a 7 day holiday, and therefore, which is when it comes to a regular holiday, you have the actual 7 days to count. Right, okay. But Shavuot, in its one day, is considered like seven, because you see that has a tashlumin shiva, and therefore, if the person dies before Shavuot, that's seven right there, it's finished. The day itself is not a seven, therefore it brings you to 14. Gemara says, Rav Papa was escorting, let's say, Rav Avya Saba, the elderly one, v'darash, and he was giving a dirasha. Yom echad l'flei Rosh Hashanah. Let's say a person dies before Rosh Hashanah, ve-Rosh Hashanah, harekar arba'asar. Again, according to the opinions that we said, Rabban Gamliel, that Rosh Hashanah is considered like a regel, so Rosh Hashanah is considered like 7 days. And therefore, if a guy dies before, so therefore it breaks the avedut, so that's seven right there, and Rosh Hashanah itself is seven, so that's already 14. So therefore the Gemara says, really there's a strong question over here, because all the Rishonim ask, my nafkamina. Once Kippur comes, Kippur is going to break it anyway. Which means, even if you want to tell me that it's not considered seven, Rosh Hashanah breaks the avilut of seven. Once Yom Kippur comes, which is 10 days later, it's going to break the shloshim. So therefore, by Kippur anyway, he's out of it. So what's the nafkamina if you're telling me it's day 14 by Rosh Hashanah, after Rosh Hashanah, or not? So the Mifnom, the Miftarshim explain the Nechrami. The point is to say that Rosh Hashanah is considered 7 days. That it breaks Avilut. That's the point. Because we had Shitot that said Rosh Hashanah doesn't break. So how did the Gemara choose to tell me that Rosh Hashanah breaks Avilut? It said it in the way that we just said it in the Gabbai Shavuot. Since the Gabbai Shavuot we just said it's seven before and seven on the day itself. So for Rosh Hashanah it's also considered seven. You don't need the seven. You don't need the seven because the seven anyway is going to be broken by Kippur. That's one way of explaining it. Another way of explaining it is like this. The Tosfot says that Kippur can only break Shloshim if he kept 7 days in actuality. Mm-hmm. But since in this case he didn't keep 7 days in actuality, Kippur would not break the Shloshim. Then you got to go follow the rest of the Shloshim. And therefore it has to tell me that it's 14. So you don't have to count 16 days later. That's one of the answers of Tosafot. I'm not saying it's halakha. That's one of the answers of the Tosafot. Amar Ravina. So Ravina says, Hilkach, therefore, Yom Echad Lefnei Hag. Let's say somebody passes away 1 day before Sukkot. Right? Vehag. Right? Then you have the 7 days of the holiday itself, so that's 14. Ushmini shelo, plus shemini atzeret, hare kan eslim ve'had. So you already have 21, which is by the end of the Sukkot, you're at 21 days. Now again, the Mefarshim she pointed out over here, because shemini atzeret is considered regel befnei atzmo. Now the Rishonim come along and say, how can we not say that once you get to shemini atzeret, it breaks the shloshim? If it's a separate Yom Tov, right. You told me the beginning of Sukkot breaks the seven, so let Shemini Atzeret just break the Shloshim. So the Mefarshim explain over here that Shemini Atzeret does not have the ability to break the Shloshim legamre because Keban she'aver lo hira b'faresya shum isurim shel Shloshim, which means because he didn't show any manifestation of the Shloshim. That he wasn't taking a haircut, she can't take a haircut on Halloween anyway. Right. That which wasn't laundering his garments, he can't launder his garments anyway. So therefore, when you don't show, the print doesn't show any sign of Shloshim at all, you can't break it. But it'll have a din of seven. So therefore, after Sukkot, already he's holding by 21. Gemara concludes, Rabbi Na found himself in Surah that was on the Euphrates River. Amar Rav Habiba min Surah Defrat Rabbi Na. So Rav Habiba told Rabbi Na, Amar Mor. Jeez, Rabbi Na said, Yom Yehalef Rosh Hashanah, Verosh Hashanah Rekan Arba Asar. He asked him, did you say this? Meaning, Rabbi Na, we have a statement in your name that Rosh Hashanah is considered seven itself, and therefore if a guy dies before Rosh Hashanah, plus Rosh Hashanah is considered 14 days. So he said, Amar Mor, Yom Yehalef Rosh Hashanah, Verosh Hashanah Harekan Arba Asar, Amar Le, Anna Mistabra Rabban Gamliel Hu De Amina. He says, yes, that which I'm saying is I'm going like Rabban Gamliel. And since Rabban Gamliel says that Rosh Hashanah is considered like a regel, and just like a regel is seven, so Nechanami, yes, I'm going like Rabban Gamliel. Nechanami, it has the ability to break the Avilut and count as 7 days. Amen.